B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
The linebackers. I think that's where you get that little split second where the quarterback can release, because our linebackers aren't athletic enough to cover those gaps and close it on the ball. And you've seen it this weekend in the flats. They just couldn't get there quick enough. And on, especially when Vernon Davis caught that ball, if it's not the secondary, there's no one else there. I mean, it's literally wide open.
Yeah, it's so weird. Corey, I remember your call. I think my response was, I guess the Eagles haven't valued that position for so long. I just don't expect much from it. And the Eagles' game plan isn't really reliant on the linebackers making plays.
No, because they're bringing down Sendejo and they're making Malcolm Jenkins play that linebacker spot an awful lot.
Corey, I agree with you. I love what you're saying,
yeah.
And I wish you were a bird on the shoulder of Jim Schwartz, making him call different plays and all that stuff, and defensive alignments, making it change up a little bit. But that's just not the way they think, unfortunately.
But it's not like Jim Schwartz is like Jim Johnson, and he's blitzing every down.
Right.
So like,
no.
You don't have the linebackers back there. We're not getting to the quarterback. But they know that we're not going for the quarterback, so the quarterback's dropping back. He's seeing the holes in the defense, and he's dropping it in. And he, like to your point, a guy like Matt Ryan, he's going to see those gaps, and you do not want Julio Jones pressed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing you want, is Julio Jones pressed with our secondary.
I'm with you there. Corey, what was your take on Mike Scott?
To be honest with you, he's like our Rodman. He's like our Ron Artest. I don't hate it. I mean,
Now, I will, Corey. If Mike Scott goes Ron Artest before he was Meta World Peace, Malice at the Palace, yeah, there's no forgiving this. Forget about it, man. You can't go into the stands.
Whoa. I'm not saying in a
bad. Okay. All right.
I'm just saying that I like that he's a savage. I think that everybody in the NFL is now on. They know. They see. Listen, man. When he's on the court, a couple months ago we were talking about what guy in the NBA on the Sixers do you not want to mess with?
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was unanimous. We were all like, Mike Scott, don't want to see that guy in the back alley.
Yeah, right.
Now we know. We definitely don't want to see this man in the back alley.
Yeah, Corey, thanks for the call, man.
I don't want to see him in the front alley.
unless we're like going to have a race. By the way, and here's the unfortunate thing, another unfortunate thing, and I know some people have pointed this out, but we talked about it yesterday a little bit. Like, this sucks for the people that Mike Scott was engaging with and having fun with. Like, I know somebody that, like, was going to take Mike Scott to take a, go get his first cheesesteak.
Right.
Yeah, that was supposed to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen now.
Yeah, that's like I said yesterday, the shame of it all is now everything has to be dialed back. And a guy that came here and just made new light of a relationship between athlete and fans. And it was so nice, giving out the ice cream, running races, everything that he did is going to have to be tailed back now. And it sucks. Mm-hmm. It sucks because of a few
jabronis.
Yeah. Acts of idiots. Well, let's just call them idiots.
Not bright. 610-632-0975. You listen to 97.5, The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour now brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And now on the line with us, brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds even during peak hours when everyone's online. Learn more at Xfinity.com. From The Athletic, the Hall of Famer himself, Mr. Jason Stark. Jason, good morning, sir.
What's happening there, Bryce?
Oh, we're just, taking in the baseball season and seeing how them Phillies do. Hey, what do you think we can get in the offseason for Cesar Hernandez?
You ready to move Cesar Hernandez?
They've
been down this road. They've tried to move him for 2 years.
I know. It's like with the Eagles, we just went through this whole thing with Wendell Smallwood, whether or not he'd make the team or move on. Hey, Cesar Hernandez seems to be the guy that everyone wants to throw in a trade, but there's like no bites.
Well, he's a talented player.
I agree, yeah.
And if you look back on their decision-making, how many years ago did it dawn on them he was not going to be their second baseman of the future? 2, 3?
Yeah, right.
Perhaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, at the time his value was at its highest, they overvalued him. They placed such a high price tag on what they'd want back that they couldn't get that thing. And now both, you could say that about Franco too. When those guys had value, they didn't want to move them. Now when their value is at the lowest, they're going to be way more aggressive in trying to move them. And that's just, you know, just one of those decisions that looking back on it, you think, whoa, that was a miss.
Yeah, and an interesting thing last night, Aaron Nola struggles yet again in another start for the Phillies. I know they're only three games out, and what, 2 days ago, they were only two games out, and people are, you know, I'm hearing that the Phillies are just two games out, and I'm like, yeah, they were like a game out like a week ago. Like, I'm not getting excited about that. But when it comes to Aaron Nola, he's a guy you can rely on to kind of be that stopper, and it hasn't gone that way for him in his last few starts.
Well, it was four straight games he started for the first time since his first full season. Right? Before that, they were 13-3 the previous 2 months. And when they made this decision that they were going to start him every fifth day the rest of the way, it was based on the theory, when he pitches, we're going to win. And instead, it's been just the opposite. You know what's interesting is, like, you would think that by pitching him on the fifth day, the rest of the year, they'd be getting, what, two extra starts out of him. The only extra start that was going to buy him was the opportunity to pitch him on the very last day of the season, if that meant something. And, you know, so in retrospect, was it worth it? The only time in his career before this that he'd started four games in a row on 4 days rest was toward the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And that was another stretch just like this. He had a 4 ERA. He lost 3 out of 4. He'd given up 8 home runs all season at the time, then gave up 7 in those 4 starts. You just really wonder if he needs that extra day every once in a while. Most pitchers do, you know. It's not like he's that unusual.
Right. Speaking with Jason Stark from The Athletic, the Hall of Famer Jason Stark. Jason, I have to ask you this. Now, I might be accused of giving a hot take here. And Jamie, I'd like to go for you to approve or disapprove of a hot take.
All right.
I don't believe it's a hot take, because as I like to say, Jason, it's not a hot take if you believe it. So when it comes to JT Real Muto.
Ooh.
Oh, listen to Jamie. All right.
All right.
Here we go.
You got my attention.
Here we go.
Do you have a hot take? Right.
No.
He's got his finger on the drop.
I'm telling you, this is not a hot take.
He's the best catcher in baseball. You're right.
That's just common fact right now.
All
right. Can't wait for this.
Jason, and again, I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but my longing for the Phillies to re-sign JT Realmuto is greater than my desire was to re-sign Jimmy Butler to a max deal.
Not a hot take.
See, I didn't think so. Thank you.
There was like a 3-minute build-up for that.
I know. I'm sorry. I got to caution myself because I
hate. That's what she said.
I have to.
I've never heard Jason laugh like that.
Well played, Trey. Jason, I hate the label of hot take, so I'm sorry for the build up, but there you go. What are the odds? Are they going to make that happen?
I think that is, like, maybe it's not their number one priority because they've got a lot of stuff they're going to have to get done this winter, but from the day they made that trade, I think there was a commitment to keep him, to keep the player. And they know that this is going to be a big ticket item. It's going to be the largest catcher contract of all time. I'm not sure about that. I mean, Buster Posey got 9 years and 167, but he was quite a bit younger at the time. But JT Realmuto is the best catcher in the sport. I'm going to say he's the best catcher who has passed through this town since I can recall. Since I can recall watching baseball
ever.
That includes Darren Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
The incredible range of skills is just undeniable. So you're going to have to pay him whatever it takes, is the way I would look at it. There've been a lot of preliminary discussions with his agent, so I'm guessing they know already about what it's going to take.
So, Jason, how will that affect, if at all, will it affect what else they can do during this offseason. Say, am I going to be hearing, am I going to be hearing in, you know, before next season? Well, we wanted to get another starting pitcher, but we had to pay JT. I mean, is it, you know, there's going to be that trickle down effect, right?
Oh, everything affects everything.
Yeah.
Just the way life works, but, you know, they've got some money they're going to be freeing up. They're going to have some flexibility to do things. You don't have to buy everything, right? Like
right.
I think it's a time to do some buying, but I also think it's a time to rethink your roster and be creative. You know, they made a bet on virtually the same pitching staff last winter. That was a bad bet. I mean, now it's a time to rethink. I don't know about everything, but rethink all the assumptions about what you were heading into this season. And, yeah, spend money, but also be creative.
Jason,
let's find out where that leads.
Speaking with Jason Stark from The Athletic, last thing for you, because I don't know if you could tell that we've kind of moved on to next season already. but
I can tell.
Nice work, detective. But the other thing is Spencer Howard. What have you heard about him? You're talking about not going out and buying everything. He's a guy you could bring up this year or next year, whether it might be. What do you hear about Spencer Howard?
Well, it's hard not to get excited. You know, I mean, talking to the guys from other teams, scouts who've gone through Clearwater and Reading and seen him, I had a guy say to me he could be Gerrit Cole. You know, he's at least a number two. He could be one of the best pitchers in the sport. It's a really interesting background and a really interesting kid, and they would love to get him here next year. His innings count is going to be an issue. You know, they're going to send him to the Fall League to try to get him innings so that if he does get here next year, you don't wind up in like a Strasburg type situation. But he's going to pitch fewer innings this year than last year, and it's going to be difficult, even if you get him here next year, to ride him like to the Rookie of the Year award or to October.
Understood.
Because innings are going to be an issue.
Jason Stark from The Athletic, the Hall of Famer himself. Always great talking to you, and thanks for playing along with this little game we call radio. Appreciate it, man.
I'm going to touch those hot takes with a potholder next time.
Good enough. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it, man. All right, take it easy. Jason Stark, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Why strike out with a boring soda when you get a grand slam with Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks available at your neighborhood store? Everfresh, nature's refreshment. Trey, that was the greatest, that's what she said, ever. Anyone ever made by Mike Scott himself on the show The Office. Coming up, we'll let you hear the exclusive audio we have of the tailgaters that got into the scuffle with Mike Scott. Coming up at 8:30, we'll replay that exclusive audio moments before Mike Scott approached, just to give you an idea of how these guys were trash-talking quote-unquote fans. We'll give you that audio. I'll tell you right now, not safe for work, ladies and gentlemen. We'll let you hear it come up in a few. And Sam, go ahead, hit me with the Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation.
This morning we asked, if you were a big fan of Mike Scott before, has this changed your opinion? We have just under 2,600 votes today. 87% say no.
All right, there you go. Thank you very much. That's brought to you by Window Nation. The people not jumping off the Mike Scott bandwagon or the Mike Scott hive, if it's become known. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on any style window, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Time of the finale. Stay right there. AJ, Bruno, Nate will take your calls coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in about 7 minutes, we're going to play our exclusive audio, give you a little sample of what some of those guys from the tailgate that were involved in the fight, we'll just call it what it was a fight, with Mike Scott on Sunday. I talked to an eyewitness last night. that kind of filled me in on some things. One person was there and kind of set the scene for me before the tailgaters went in early in the morning. And then another person that was there for the fight. He was right there for the fight. And I'll give you the details of that coming up in a second. AJ in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, AJ?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, man. Can you get right on that phone, brother?
Oh, I'm not right. I don't sound good.
It's a little muffled.
Let me switch it up real quick. I had the little car thing going. My bad. I'm on the air. You know, I don't do that.
I gotcha.
But look, y'all know I'm from West Philly. I'm not too far away from y'all. I know y'all know a lot of these tailgaters are not from Philadelphia at all. You get all these little surrounding counties, but not from the city.
These guys were from Delaware, I believe. Some of them are from Delaware.
Of course, a lot of these dudes ain't from Philly, don't rep Philly, and ain't that tough. Mike Scott more Philly because he can go into the hood. A lot of people don't know. You safe in the Northeast, you safe in South Philly, but come to West Philly and North Philly and Southwest with that stuff. Now, look, I got a best friend that's an Atlanta Falcons fan. He loves Matt Ryan, got a signed Matt Ryan jersey. I'm an Eagles fan. I go down to the stadium with him. Dude start acting like that with Mike Scott. Now, mind you, my friend is a little 5'5" little white dude. He ain't big as Mike Scott.
Right.
I would be an Eagles fan fighting other Eagles fans, all right, because I don't play that. And we don't play that. Y'all dudes need to realize this, and it is an elephant in the room of race. I want y'all to think about this. If there's three black dudes beating down one white dude, y'all wouldn't be telling a white dude, oh, be careful where you're going, and all this. The three black dudes would be getting locked up right now, and they had their faces on the news. But
yeah,
there's a privilege and a double standard that's going on.
Okay, AJ, I understand what you're saying, and I know that there are people that feel that way because I'm not naive. However, on this show, that's not the picture we'd be painting. I can tell you right now.
Yeah, I'm just saying as far as with perception, just like Mike Scott perception, everybody perception, when I go to these tailgates, I wanted these fans to realize that this is the city of brotherly love, and we got love for the person that's the underdog. Love for the gang of people that's fighting one person.
Yeah, and I will say this. AJ, I've lived in the city. I grew up in the burbs here. I moved into the city because I love the city, and that's where I wanted to live since I was like 11 years old. But like where I live, and not to jump to conclusions here, I'll just tell you, it's not the hood. And the city is bigger than the hood. I mean, I just don't want to generalize Philadelphia just for, you know, little pockets of the city. It is a very diverse city. Tailgates, I would prefer that we didn't act a complete fool. Have your fun, have your drinks, but if anything comes to blows, that's an embarrassment.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you this, because I know we don't hear, like, subsections. I wish I could be around them guys from Delaware. But it's a lot of people in the neighborhoods, because jerseys, we wear Yankees jerseys, Red Sox.
Uh-huh.
We thinking about coming to tailgates with our other jerseys on and see how we get treated by these fans. And the bad part, we are from Philly.
Mm.
We not from Bucks County or Gloucester County or no county.
Right.
We from the city that y'all want to represent. And y'all would treat us, well, not y'all, but those fans would treat us like we ain't the salt of the city. Don't be surprised if some brothers start going down there with other jerseys on.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah.
No.
Don't do that. Let them boys calm themselves down. They need to tell some of them drunk boys, they need to chill out, cuz.
No, I'm on, and AJ, thanks for the call. And I'm on the side of chill the hell out. What's
here
that?
It just got real.
Yeah, it did.
Don't incite morons.
Yes, we're not doing that.
Don't do that, AJ.
Oh, it just got real.
But believe me, AJ, I believe you would whoop their ass.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
We're not rounding people up here.
No.
We're not rounding up a posse.
I told you.
You deal with morons, you get moron reactions.
Exactly.
What was your line, Trey?
Oh, you're going to find someone that's going to get bad action.
I'm not, look, if you see somebody's jersey, and I've joked about this for years, and I don't even joke, this is my honest thing, I swear to you, this is exactly what I think. If I'm out in Philadelphia, and I see somebody walk into whatever establishment, a store, a bar, a restaurant, whatever, a tailgate, if I see somebody in an opposing team's jersey, my first thought is, well, look at this bleepity bleepity bloop, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not thinking the nicest thing. But if your thought is anything more than that, too, I'm going to beat that guy's ass.
Yeah.
Like, be better.
Look
in
the mirror.
Like, seriously. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Well, after we play the audio that you tracked down, the exclusive audio before Mike Scott got there to show you what these guys kind of are all about, it dawned on me going to get breakfast with Bob. Like, I've been to a million tailgates, and I find good smack talk and ribbing
hilarious and mm-hmm. good-natured, and when there's a good back and forth between two different fan bases, it makes the experience more fun. It really
yes,
does.
That's great. That's but what I love.
Yes, but there takes a little bit of intellect to do that.
So when we play this audio,
these people did not have intellect. They are going lowest common denominator with some of the graphic, vile stuff they said, which tells me they're just stupid.
But so am I wrong here? Like, if your thought is when you see somebody in another jersey, I want to punch that person in the face.
You've got issues.
There's like. See, like, go. There's therapy. There's a therapist that can help you with that issue.
I see somebody.
I don't know if there is any thought. That's given them credit enough to have the ability to think.
Fair enough.
The graphic things that you're going to play and that we've bleeped out or whatever, keep in mind, we all watched the video this morning. There's like a young 20 some year old girl standing right there in front of the stage.
Young people all around.
While this guy spews what he spews.
Into a microphone. He's on a microphone.
Good chance that's somebody's dad.
With a PA system.
Yeah. He could be somebody's dad. He could have a sister. I mean, give me a break. Well, like, who the hell do you think you are?
It's cringeworthy, the audio.
It's unbelievable.
And I will say again, we're going to play it in a minute. And if right before we play it, if you have a kid in the car, you don't want him to hear something that's... It's bleeped. However, it's graphic.
Yeah, you get the idea.
Go ahead, give it 10 seconds. Turn that radio down. Here's something I'll never say. Hey, turn your radio down. unless they're calling.
For 22 seconds.
Is that how long it is?
Yeah, 22.
Okay, count to 22, and then we'll play it, or then, you know, come back to us.
And then we'll rip them, and you can hear it.
And then we'll talk about puppy dogs and ice cream. But no, it's real. It lets you. It kind of sets the scene to let you know a little taste of how these guys were behaving right before Mike Scott walked up just moments later. We'll play that for you in a second. Bruno in Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bruno?
Yo, what's up? What's up? What's up, guys?
Hey,
good morning.
All
right. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, the guy that just was on, I mean, I can't say it no better. Let me say this.
Hold on a second. We're not rounding up anybody to go down there.
Definitely not. I do not condone violence at all. I'm not that type of dude. I'm a gentle giant. However, I have a wife, I have a 20-year-old daughter, and I have a 15-year-old daughter. I mean, those dudes, man, they were way over the line. Like, people walking by, you know, suck my this, and come on, dude, really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the tailgate a lot. I'm down there a lot, you know, and I've seen some unruly people. I've seen some people that said and, you know, might have done something. I'm like, well, you're getting a little out of hand, buddy. But these dudes, they're in on a microphone and anybody walking by, come on, man. Now, it's bigger than Mike Scott. I could be Mike Scott. I am Mike Scott.
Right. As far as they knew, you were Mike Scott.
Exactly. There's other people that could be walking by. They could be a Mike Scott. Now, my thing is, we're all down there to have a good time, and those dudes were fired up. They were ready to give it to anybody walking by without an Eagles jersey on or whatever.
Another team's jersey.
It's not cool, man. Now I'm going to say this. Now, you know, some people say, oh, no, this guy could go postal. Now, for NBA players, you know, where's Mike Scott? Would have went Charles Oakley or Birdman? Mm-hmm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm not allowed to answer. No, that was a drop. That was a drop.
I feel you.
I am not allowed to confirm or deny whether or not there is a feeling of what
I
just said.
I'm just saying. I got a personal friend, Bernard Hopkins. You don't want none of that smoke, buddy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What the hell? I don't even think those guys are dumb enough to say
that. Where's this going?
What if it was Bernard Hopkins?
I don't condone violence.
I understand. I understand, Bruno. Thanks for the call. What if it was B-Hop? Like, what if this guy...
That would have been amazing.
Like, what if B-Hop was like...
They would have been put right in that casket. Like, they would have just been dead.
So quick.
B-Hop would have been like,
one punch and you're in the casket.
Well, you got the casket right here, so...
Oh, you made my job easy for
me. So here's this three-piece combination. And then there you go. Where's my beer?
Oh, my God.
You're about to get these hands.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right. Now, I'll set this up. This takes place, and I'll give you the rest of the story after I talked to the eyewitness last night. One person that was there, while these guys were about to get into the tailgate, apparently there was a little issue even beforehand, and then another witness telling me what happened actually during the fight. I'll give you that witness's account coming up in a second here, but again, if you have a kid in the car, this is graphic, so I do want to let you know. Give us give it about 22 seconds after I say play it now, and here is the audio that we obtained exclusively last night from an eyewitness that was there on hand, on site, right before Mike Scott approached the tailgate. Here's how those tailgaters were treating people with other uniforms on. There's a person, another jersey on. There's a person in a Titans jersey and a 49ers jersey. Again, the audio is graphic that will play right now.
Hey, 49ers! Get the out of here, dude! And you think you were going to skate by? Marcus Mariota and 49ers fan. Mama be in Espanol. That means suck my.
So I go ahead and say over the line. I mean, I'll be the first to vote here. But is that over the line what you're hearing right there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We all on board here?
Mm-hmm. I cringe for that guy.
All right.
And now, you can hear his friends like awkwardly laughing.
Now it's hilarious.
Now I know there's people that are just like, well, that teacher not wear a jersey in Philly.
That's dumb.
Okay. All right. Can we evolve just an inch as a society? Like, I love tailgating and I love going down there and all that stuff. And I love when I get to interact with my job is to talk to fans, all right? How sweet is that? I love doing that. Trey, you were basking in the fans' glory.
Just hanging out. You're having a good time.
Okay, when did a tailgate supposed to be gen pop? All right, what was that? When did that happen? Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not condoning that. And I know there's people that want to usher in or keep alive this like old 700 level feeling of, oh, that's the great fans and all that. Those aren't great fans. All right, what you're hearing right there, those aren't great fans. All right, if the fact that you got to resort to that kind of quote-unquote that's not trash talk, that's assault. Like that's verbal assault right there. That's that's way over the line, especially when you think about the very mixed group that's at a tailgate. Kids, whatever you want to say, families, whatever it might be, that's over the line. And into a microphone, that's ridiculous. And then moments later, so just to give you a sample of how they were conducting themselves, then Mike Scott starts walking by, sees the casket, as I was told by an eyewitness, walks up to the casket, thinks it's funny, thinks he wants to take a picture. As Mike Scott walks up in the Redskins jersey, they see a guy in a Redskins jersey. Don't know who it is, apparently. My eyewitness told me that these might have been the only guys that, like, weren't Sixers fans, weren't guys that would identify Mike Scott out of a lineup, whatever it might be. He walks up, wants to take a picture. As he's approaching, they're like, oh, this guy in the Redskins jersey, bleep the Skins, they suck, you suck, get out of here, blah, 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 and all that stuff. To me, that's ridiculous. Mike Scott thinks, from the impression my eyewitness got, oh, first stop on the tour. Just like we kind of speculated yesterday. Mm-hmm. How does this make sense is the question that we asked. Talking to the eyewitness last night, he laid it out for me. He thought it was a joke. He thought Mike Scott was approaching. Just, oh yeah, first stop on my tailgate tour, chopping it up with the fans. And I don't know at what point Mike Scott got the idea that this wasn't a good thing, but people got chest to chest. Words were exchanged. Next thing you know, people are shoving people. And then things started to escalate from there where Mike Scott threw a punch. Somebody else threw a punch. They weren't able to confirm because they were trying to defuse the situation at this point. They weren't sure who threw the first punch. So that part, to me, is still up in the air. Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Scott, as you've seen in the video, the three different videos that are out there, gets pushed back towards a fence so that people are trying to break it up. And at that point, Mike Scott, when it was all said and done, when everything was over, Mike Scott started taking selfies with people that were requested. People that actually recognized him started taking selfies with him. And he was trying to defuse the situation like that. Yeah, take your phone out. Let's take a selfie. Whatever. Like anyone that was filming it, he was like, yo, let's take a selfie. And he tried to get selfies with people in that way. People were asking him for selfies. And then when he started walking away, that's apparently when the N-word got thrown at him. Mm-hmm. And that's when the guys got back on the microphone and started harassing him again, started taunting him again. To me, if you don't know who the guy is at that point, like, that's just beyond dumb. But regardless of who he is, that's not how you should conduct yourself if you're going down there to tailgate and have a good time. Mike Scott, again, and I've said this, once that moment hits of, this is the wrong place for me, that's where you got to get the hell out of there. That's the part I'll look at Mike Scott and go, you mean to tell me there wasn't a part you could get out of it? And talking to the eyewitness, I asked him that point blank last night.
Right.
Was there an opportunity for Mike Scott to just get the heck out of there? And he said, no, he was surrounded.
Yeah, so he got backed up to a wall. We saw the stance. He had, you know, fists were cocked. He had his back up against the wall. It came to what it came to. And then, like you said, Mark, I guess that's the point where he felt he could get away after that. He got away. And to him, it was like, all right, couple of idiots. I had to throw some fists. Hey, let's take a selfie.
Yeah, like seriously,
it was nothing.
Yeah.
To him, you know, I don't know the background of, you know, like a little flare up like that probably doesn't mean a lot to Mike Scott, the way he handled it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
and
he
now
walked away and, you know, selfies. Let me go up to the suite, watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
It was over to him, and he moved on with his life.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the Sixers have been doing their investigation. I know other people. There's been other stories out there. I was reading a story on Philly Voice 2 days ago, I guess, or yesterday.
Kyle Newbeck's, yeah.
Kyle Newbeck, great piece on it. The only information I got that I think is a little bit different than the story was Mike Scott after everything went down. And also, the story, I think, said that the N-word was heard before the punch was thrown.
Yeah.
What I had heard from my eyewitness, he was just telling me what he took in, was that it was after the fact, after punches were thrown.
I can see that. I can see both ways, by the way they talk.
I will say this. Just, you know, you watch the video and over again because you're trying to get a better understanding. And you could hear some very suspicious language. I'll put it that way. And it goes beyond, get out of here. This is a fight you're not going to win.
Yeah, this is that was something they were looking for, clearly.
Yeah, but they're going to mess around and find somebody and say, oh, I'm your Huckleberry. Uh-huh. Oh, blood. That's just my game.
Well, apparently AJ's rounding up people, which is not a good thing here. Let's get to Nate in Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Nate?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time caller.
Welcome aboard, man. Good to have you.
Hey, yeah, it's been a while, but I was actually at the game. I didn't see the whole thing that went on. I heard about it later at night, and I'm just like, you know, when I'm sitting in the field watching the game, you know, I see Mike Scott right above me. It was like the greatest thing in the world. I was like, are you serious? Like,
Now, at that point, did you know what had already happened?
I had no idea that happened, no. Because I wasn't even in the parking lot. I saw it later when I was watching the Patriots game. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, and then I was looking at the news and I'm like hearing these people, you know, talking about it. And I heard this one lady, she was like, oh, you know, he shouldn't be wearing a Redskins jersey because he's a Philadelphia Sixers and all that stuff. And I'm just like, he's a grown ass man. He can do whatever the heck he wants. You know, I'm
right.
Just like, I couldn't believe it. I just, cause that's why when you guys were talking about it, I had to call in. I was like, man, I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, you know, as an Eagles fan, you know, die hard, like, you know, for that to be an issue, like, and for people to say that and do this stuff, like, it just shows that how bad, you know, it makes me pissed off as an Eagles fan because other people are doing this.
Yeah, they made us all look bad. And Nate, here's the thing, and thanks for the call. I don't give a damn about the national media and like how they look at us and all that stuff. Like,
right. Okay,
like I want people to think they can come to Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And spend their money here. Hey. But the other part of it is that I don't look at this and go, oh, badge of honor for us because we're tough fans. And I don't care about national media. I live here. Like I don't care
about national media. I just care that somebody's letting them perpetuate, this.
Yeah.
I don't care. They're going to say it regardless. But our own idiots perpetuated it.
No rational thinking person thinks anything good of those guys with the microphone.
I know there's a mindset that goes on for generations here in Philadelphia. And I think Les Bowen, who's been on with us, friend of the show, whatever, great guy. I talked to Les many times. He pointed out people that will champion this cause in sports talk radio. Like brought that up, you know, bringing up the sports radio and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm not championing that cause. I'm not applauding people that think they're tough fans because they want to punch another fan in another jersey in the face. That's stupid. All right? Do I tell my friends that are coming to Philadelphia that are fans of other teams, hey, I'm going to wear my colors in Philly, should I? No. I do tell them that because I don't want situations like this.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
I had this exact situation. A Redskins fan came up and somebody tried to fight him and I stepped in and was like, nah, not happening, bro. You got to go through me if you're going to get to him.
Right.
Because that's my buddy, and you're not fighting him because he's wearing a Redskins jersey.
If you're looking at a guy in another jersey, and you're thinking to yourself, anything past, oh, that guy sucks, and his team sucks, then and you go to the point of, I want to punch him in the face, there's an issue there.
Yeah.
You got a problem.
All you have to do is say 1991.
Right, exactly.
Case closed.
Let's try Joe Gibbs again. Yeah. In a whirl.
Yeah, what's Mark ripping up to?
Now, why go to Mark Rippon? Now, former Eagle Mark Rippon. Why you got to go for
him? Was he here? Yeah, he did come here.
Oh, that's right.
I believe he
was one of the cup of coffee 10 that year.
Yeah, I think he got Rich Kotite a cup of coffee one time. I think that's pretty much, I think that was the overlap. I think it was Kotite. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. We'll let you hear that audio a little bit later in the show, again, probably around 9:30. Coming up top of the hour, we're going to talk to Tom Moore, get some Eagles conversation going, and Malik Jackson. Out indefinitely, it's looking like right now, which is unfortunate. Doug Peterson made that announcement. We'll get a little bit more into that. And a little of the, unfortunately, it's not a trench talk by any means, Trey, but how great that offensive line played, especially Brandon Brooks, who you said you felt like pushed his way back in that starting lineup despite injury. Pretty amazing stuff, including the accolade he got yesterday. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 8:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
So it comes out yesterday, and we'll talk to Tom Moore coming up in a minute here. Malik Jackson out for the foreseeable future is what it looks like right now for the Eagles. Foot injury. Jamie, you saw a report from the doctor that, Trey, you actually know, did a surgery on you. Liz Frank.
Liz Frank.
I believe it was Liz Frank or Liz Franck. It would be Le Franck.
Le Franck.
Le Franck.
Where are we going, Le Franck?
I believe it would be Le Franck.
Le Franck.
I don't know these
Liz
things.
Frank.
It was Elizabeth Frank to the injury that he suffered. Look, the defense didn't look particularly great in this game, especially starting out. Nobody really did. But the coverage didn't really seem like it was there for the corners, obviously. And I like to have a little bit of a push on the defensive line to help out those corners. But you're saying now it's got to be more the corners the star of the show.
Yeah, corners. The corners have to do it. I mean, because if they play with cushion or they play off, you know, then the quarterback can dink and dunk. You know, you have to throw out the timing of the receivers, disturb the route so that you can give that defensive line time to get there.
Yeah, and I'm looking at a guy like Rasul Douglas get benched, essentially, in this game. I see Sidney Jones come in. He has a little bit of an injury as well. Or also, like, I'm watching these guys, and I'm going, okay, well, I need that push. And now with Malik Jackson not being there, I mean, you also didn't upgrade your defensive end position, essentially, because you were reliant on the interior defensive linemen.
Yeah.
You were reliant on your D-tackles to really help out those edge rushers. Now Derek Barnett's not going to get as much of a push in the middle. I mean, I love Tim Jernigan, but I'd rather have all three of those guys than just Fletcher Cox and Tim Jernigan. I'd rather have Malik Jackson involved as well.
Yeah, what I noticed with the ends, though, and this is before I really get into the All-22, I noticed that it was just a lot of bull rush or running upfield. You know what I'm saying? Like, there were no plan B moves. There was nothing that was, I'm going to force a reaction and then give you this, where it's a butt and go or a butt and spin. There was always a, I'm just going to bull rush or I'm just going to try to just take edge. And, you know, the tackles just played that. They just ran him upfield or they just sat there on the bull rush. No, going into this game, I would have said, all right, you know what? The left side tackle, I don't have all my notes in front of me, so I don't have everybody's names.
All right.
But the left tackle.
Isn't that Donald Penn?
Yeah. I have memory issues, so I don't forget.
That's why we're
We got you.
So knowing how, just based off of how I watched him and on film, I would have gave him delayed spin moves where we get him upfield because he leans towards the end of it and give him a spin move, or we run some delayed ETs on that side just because of how they protect it over on the right side where you're dealing with the guard. I can't think of his name either or whatever, and then Big Moses over that right tackle, you knew that he leaned a little bit, or even when he came to games, they would instead of trying to switch it off like normal guards and tackles would, they would try to stay with each other because the right guard was such a big jumper. So knowing that, I would have changed up my rush recipe. Yeah. Going into the game, I always kind of had, you know, even when I started working with outside linebackers focusing on pass rush, it was like, all right, this is what you want to, this is your menu of rushes to work against this guy based off of what you see on film.
That's what concerns me about this team. And I think I'm a little more concerned about Sunday's game than maybe you guys are. But the defense really, really concerned me. And it's schematic and it's also talent. Like, you know, Sidney Jones got absolutely blasted on that long pass right after 21-20 happened. It should have been a wide open touchdown. Redskins could have gone right back up 27-21 right after the Eagles took the lead. Mm. On the first play, he got killed. On the other play where Douglas gets beat deep for the touchdown, he's standing facing inside, basically saying to a speed receiver, go ahead and beat me to the inside. I'll give you the... forcing him inside. Why? Why are you forcing him to the big part of the field when the guy's a 4-3-40? Like, that didn't make any sense to me. Trey's talking about the rushing not really having many schemes going on. The second half, like Trey and I talked about earlier, as much as we say, yeah, they really clamped down, they didn't. It was all Washington clamping themselves down. Eagles made a couple of plays. That was it. Otherwise, they shot themselves in the foot with penalties and drop passes and missed wide open bombs.
But how quick are we going to go back to last year's argument then of, well, why won't Jim Schwartz pressure? What is it going to take for him to actually apply that pressure when his D-line might need some help and his corners or his safeties might need that help also?
So here's the thing. When you're saying, all right, you want your guys to blitz. And for me, if I'm going to have my guys blitz, I don't need them running right down the middle of the protector. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
For me, I want my pass rush, my front, I want it to be death by a million paper cuts. Where it's, even if you're not getting a hit, but it's constant slashing, where you're taking edges off of the guys, where you're constantly making that quarterback move his feet, not where you just running right down the middle of a running back. What's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of when you blitz, you run right down the middle of a guard? You know, take the edge, try to work some edge, try to attack the edge of him, have a plan B move, a span move, some type of counter. Don't just come in with your feet chopping and you stop. That's not a blitz to me.
Yeah.
If you're going to blitz, let's go. Take the edge and go.
Yeah, and I want to see that. I want to see it at some point. Now, look, Tim Jernigan, who knows? Maybe he's going to play incredible. Maybe Stud Muffin's going to be incredible. Maybe Fletcher Cox is going to continue a phenomenal career that he's having already, right? But without investing a lot in the defensive line, especially the edge rusher position, like, you had a very deep draft when it came to edge rushers. You said, yeah, we're good until what? The Sharif Miller in the fourth round? Fifth round? Like, that's not a big investment in that position.
Not at all.
You brought back Brandon Graham, who is over the hill. Had a great game one, but we all know he's never been a guy to get after the quarterback in terms of getting those sack numbers. Mm. Chris Long's not here anymore. I just saw some rumors floating around people saying, oh, maybe go reach out for Chris Long again. But Vinnie Curry historically...
Put down the vape pen, Chris. They might get a call.
Put down the solo cup. But you also look at a guy like Vinnie Curry, who doesn't have a track record of getting after quarterback as well. They're good defensive ends.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.